The chief had given him a four-finger nip about 10 o'clock. "Only once, help me." Good old chief, but as to getting the old fraud out of his bunk, a 5-ton crane couldn't do it. Not it. Not tonight, anyhow. He was sleeping sweetly like a little child with a bottle of prime brandy under his pillow. From the thick throat of the commander of the Patna came a low rumble, on which the sound of the word Schwein fluttered high and low like a capricious feather in a faint stir of air. He and the chief engineer had been cronies for a good few years, serving the same jovial, crafty old Chinaman with horn-rimmed goggles and strings of red silk pleated into the venerable gray hairs of his pigtail. The quayside opinion in the Patna's home port was that these two, in the way of brazen peculation, had done together pretty well everything you can think of. Outwardly, they were badly matched, one dull-eyed, malevolent, and of soft, fleshy curves, the other lean, all hollows, with a head long and bony like the head of an old horse, with sunken cheeks, with sunken temples, with an indifferent glazed glance of sunken eyes. He had been stranded out east somewhere, in Canton, in Shanghai, or perhaps in Yokohama. He probably did not care to remember himself the exact locality, nor yet the cause of his shipwreck. He had been, in mercy to his youth, kicked quietly out of his ship 20 years ago or more, and it might have been so much worse for him that the memory of the episode had in it hardly a trace of misfortune. Then, steam navigation expanding in these areas, and men of his craft being scarce at first, he had got on after a sort. He was eager to let strangers know, in a dismal mumble, that he was an old stager out here. When he moved, a skeleton seemed to sway loose in his clothes. His walk was mere wandering, and he was given to wander thus around the engine room skylight, smoking, without relish, doctored tobacco in a brass bowl at the end of a cherrywood stem 4 feet long, with the imbecile gravity of a thinker evolving a system of philosophy from the hazy glimpse of a truth. He was usually anything but free with his private store of liquor, but on that night he had departed from his principles, so that his second, a weak-headed child of Wapping, what with the unexpectedness of the treat, and the strength of the stuff, had become very happy, cheeky, and talkative. The fury of the New South Wales German was extreme. He puffed like an exhaust pipe, and Jim, faintly amused by the scene, was impatient for some time when he could get below. The last 10 minutes of the watch were irritating, like a gun that hangs fire. Those men did not belong to the world of heroic adventure. They weren't bad chaps, though. Even the skipper himself, his gorge rose at the mass of panting flesh from which issued gurgling mutters, a cloudy trickle of filthy expressions, but he was too pleasurably languid to dislike actively this or any other thing. The quality of these men did not matter. He rubbed his shoulders with them, but they could not touch him. He shared the air they breathed, but he was different.